Well, fellas, springtime's here, and that means Cardinals, Blues playoffs, and shrubs. Yes, I said shrubs because, well, we all have them.
Shrubs as wild as the Australian bush.
The only place I go for my shrubs is Tease Farm and Greenhouses. Locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley make them your one-stop shop for all gardening needs. Be like me and Tim's lawn crew and go to Tease Farm and Greenhouses for your yard needs.
Yeah, I mean, I went to St. Louis U High. I don't have to do manual labor.
Tell them CBS Sports Radio sent you in for great discounts on your purchase.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Venice Wednesday is sick.
Yes, it is.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. Boys Club. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Charlie Marlowe with you, already joined by Doug McLean and Jamie McLennan on the Blues and Sharks Game 6. If you miss anything, it's up for you. Podcasts like the Dickens. And Derek Gould's going to join us coming up at 9:15, plus the email of the day. Today is the last day at Inside STL for Tabitha, who has been with us for a while and has done an incredible job handling our events. I can't convey enough gratitude and also how impressed we've all been with how she's handled our events. I mean, you talk about a 260-person golf tournament. She was El Capitan on that. And she has gotten her dream job. She is involved with the Webster University women's softball team, and she's been working with them for a while, and now she gets a promotion. So she is having her last day with us at Inside STL, and we want to make sure that we wish her the best and thank her for everything that she has done, because those events can be MFers, Charlie, is what you call them. And
yeah.
I said, don't use that language, but they can be, and she has handled them so well, and we will miss her. And wish her the best. God bless Tabitha. Thank you so much for all the work that you've done. I know a lot of the people who come to our events have met her and think very highly of her, just like we all do here at the world headquarters.
Good people.
Good people. Very good people. So, the cat, I know you got to leave early for the Cardinal game, but we have a little something here, if you wouldn't mind taking care of this before you take off. Yeah, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Cardinal lost, huh?
We have a new intern by the name of Madison here.
Who's that?
She's a new intern. Her name is Madison.
Oh.
Not impressed. You're not impressed.
You think a fluke only win tonight?
Yeah, kind of moving on from the question.
I think the Blues will win, yes.
Yeah, I'm on that right now as well, Mike. And the cat has gone full rights holder, submitting a $40 parlay for the Cardinals against Jake Arrieta and the Cubs and the Blues straight up in San Jose tonight. It's unbelievable.
Incredible.
Hey, Doc.
Yes.
Yes.
Where's Doug at?
He's in San Jose.
Pretend I'm Doug. I'll pretend I'm Doug. Go ahead.
He's a dumbass.
Yep.
There you go.
Yes,
there he
is.
I'll suspend him, too. We'll do the whole bit. Ragazzi is the sponsor of the suspension logule. Doug loves that nurse's happy hour. How many people go to that thing? I wouldn't mind doing a remote from there and see how many nurses are there. See what the word is.
And they got a steam table.
And a steam table.
Where I just picture like six or seven fat guys lying around on a table getting a steam.
That's hot. That's very, very hot, sir. Jamie McLennan with us at 8:50. Doug McLean with us at 7:45. If you're looking for emotional risk management, I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you that the number in Las Vegas has dropped from the shark perspective. So if you're going to be betting on the Sharks for emotional risk management, the number has gone in your favor because it is now down to 155. Minus 155. The Blues series price, if you wanted to bet $100 on the Blues and they wind up going to the Stanley Cup Finals, you would win $300. The Sharks are minus 400 on that, which means you would have to bet $400.
How much you wager, Charlie?
100.
I think I would rather wager on them winning the series than winning tonight because you get a better return. I think if they win tonight, very good chance they win the series. I know that's kind of an obvious statement, but if they win tonight, coming back, Game 7 at Scottrade. I know they haven't played well at home.
3-1 versus.
I would rather take that bet than just winning.
What about my parlay, Shrewd?
I like it. It's ballsy.
When's the last time the Cubs lost to Jake Arrieta start?
I want to say it's like 21, 22
I think
regular season
last Tuesday.
Perfect.
Last Tuesday.
If I'm not mistaken, the last time they lost in the regular season was when they faced Cole Hamels before he got traded and he threw a no-hitter. It took a Cole Hamels no-hitter to beat Arrieta, if I'm not mistaken.
Cardinals get him day game today. Carlos Martinez on the mound for the Cardinals. They call it the rubber game of the three-game set before the Cardinals go out on the road to Washington and Milwaukee. It is the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You get 10% off when you mention the Morning After and you call Tease Farms. It is the final week that you can buy your own strawberries at the Maryland Heights location. Right now they're offering buy two, get one free roses. And you can eliminate the middleman and get your plants, flowers, hanging baskets, and combo planters from the growers directly. Ask the Plow Shark how cutting out the middleman can get you a better price on the product you so desire. Tease Farms, online at teesfarm.com, T-H-I-E-S, farm.com. Plow Shark, how are you going to watch the game tonight?
I'll be posted up at Billy G's, watching it from a distance while putting pickles on a plate, bud.
Putting pickles on a plate, bud.
Do you ever put a pickle on the plate and then Vlasic does something in the game and you make like a pickle joke?
That'd be funny.
Actually, I didn't even think about that. I guess I realized his nickname was Pickles the other night from Jeremy Roenick. But no, maybe I will tonight, Chuck.
All right.
Hopefully he doesn't.
It's a good thing that Charlie pointed that out. I mean, to me, that's leadership.
Thank you,
Charlie.
Nice. I'm all about puns.
No, they're very good. They're very, very good. Yeah, I'll be on the couch. That's where I'll be.
I'll be at the 2 Fox.
That's where you'll be.
Getting you ready, pregame.
Okay, well, you'll be in Washington, your hotel?
Yeah, I was going to FaceTime with you tonight.
Oh, it'll be fun! I was talking to Chase last night. He had just gotten to San Jose, and he hadn't just gotten there. But he was all upset because the hotel that he was in didn't have the game. So he had to go down to a watering hole to watch the ningy.
Can you imagine the person at the counter when Chase checks in and finds out he can't get the game? That's a customer you probably wouldn't want to deal with.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it.
That is annoying, though. That happened to me when I was traveling. Maybe it was for baseball. They didn't have either TBS or TNT, or maybe it was MLB Network. With all these games on some of the more obscure cable channels. That's annoying, though. If you go to your hotel, you want to watch the hockey playoff game. And if you have to go to the bar, that's a bad beat.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look at, they do have the Foliage Network. I'm glad about that, but I'd rather see the game.
Not cool, bro.
That's why you get an app on your phone. It's your backup plan.
That's what Doug was doing the other day.
They were discussing on Pardon the Interruption yesterday. They never discussed the games, and that's fine. I know a lot of Blues fans, hockey fans in general, very irritated with the lack of coverage that ESPN gives hockey. It doesn't deliver as far as ratings go, and it's not some kind of CYC league where everybody has to get equal coverage just because they're one of the, quote, major four sports leagues. I would love poker coverage. I know most people don't care about it. I accept the way that it is. So the only time they talk about hockey on Pardon the Interruption is if the Capitals are involved because of Kornheiser's ties to Washington, the Blackhawks because of Wilbon's ties to Chicago and the fact they've won the Cup 3 years since 2010, or if there's a big fight, or if it's something negative. And yesterday we were going, the NHL is on the verge of a San Jose versus Tampa Bay Stanley Cup final. How big of a debacle would that be? And Wilbon pointed out, well, technically, it's the two bigger markets, Tampa and San Jose, when you include the Bay Area, seventh market in the country. I think Tampa's 13th, and St. Louis is a bigger market than Pittsburgh, 21st. I don't know what Pittsburgh is, mid-20s.
Right around there. I mean, I think they're
fairly
comparable.
But I think the two teams, the Blues and Penguins, I think, I don't know. Penguins, certainly. I don't know, and the Blues and Sharks might be a flip. Have more appeal because it just sounds, I think, to the casual fan, more hockey, historically hockey city, I suppose, versus San Jose. And that's where Kornheiser's whole opinion was coming from, is that you're talking about. When I think of Stanley Cup playoffs, I think of Tampa Bay and San Jose, he was saying sarcastically. But the NBA might have a real situation if you have Toronto and Oklahoma City.
They won't.
I don't know how
LeBron's gonna
how
win.
It's not going to be Oklahoma City.
The Cavs are going to win.
So it's going to be a rematch for Bron, except this time with Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know what I did? I shipped the role, Charlie. I shipped the role.
What was the role? Give us
an idea. It wasn't a huge amount of money.
Like
but
$40,000.
It was not $40,000. It was I had
$60,000.
It was less than 60. But
call it a number.
It was a number. It wasn't a big amount of money, but it still was tilting because I wanted to double it up and then be able to play with it for emotional risk management tonight. And now I got to reload. Plus, I'm submitting. People are texting me to also bet on the official full rights holder parlay. So now I'm making bets for listeners on Bovada.
I don't love that play from a strategic sense, but from a
fun sense,
rah-rah fun sense. That's why you'll probably win. You'll probably win.
I'm walking.
I would love it if you won.
I am walking the walk. This is my money.
I agree.
And I'm going full rights holder.
I would get attacked by fans before the Cardinal season on my feelings of the Cardinals going under the number 87.5, and I said, that's fine. I said, I will bet you, and not only will I bet you straight up, I'll give you 2-1 on the money. So you want to bet 100? That's fine. You win 200. I only win 100. Okay? You don't feel that strongly about it. You don't want to bet it. Great. Leave me alone. It's an opinion on sports. It's not some kind of personal attack. I hope the Cardinals win 100 games. This is my opinion.
Well, they're getting one
which
today.
Which I pay myself to give.
They're getting one today.
Against Jake Arrieta. Of course they are.
Who?
Exactly.
Gotta go.
Cat's gotta go.
See you, buddy.
He's gonna go full rights holder on Fox Sports with West. It is a day game. Boy, I hope you win that bet. Man, wouldn't that be the best? To win a game 6 in the road, to send a game 7, and then beat Jake Arrieta and the Cubs? What a lovely day it would be.
You have $205.
When I win, mm-hmm. and I return, I'll bring in Danish.
Oh, my God!
Oh. So now you really want to see the Blues win. Before, I was kind of like, eh, if they win, it'd be nice, but otherwise I'll go to Las Vegas. Not anymore. You didn't hear it squeak.
Not bad.
You do hear the kind of sweeping noise?
Yeah.
No, it's nice. It's very nice. I got to welcome John Wright, Jerry Hammer, and Mike Flavin to the new TMA fan page, along with Danny Morsch. Danny Morsch.
Flavor Flavin.
Flavor Flavin. Jerry Hammer and Mike Flavin, welcome to the TMA fan page. We welcome you to get involved. It's become kind of a part of the show, so if you're a fan of the show, it's a good place to be. Madison, are you on the TMA fan page? Are you even on Facebook? Yeah, have the plow shark give you the microphone. This is a whole mess in there.
Is this also a time? I'm not trying to tell you
game film
how to do the show, but when Kat leaves, is this an opportunity for the plow shark to come in and kind of spit hot takes?
Anybody's welcome to come in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Gateway Buick GMC located at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com with 38 service bays to serve you. Charlie, it's where I got my whip. It's where you should get your whip. So anybody's welcome to come in here. Madison, plow shark. Gardner, I don't care. Seamaster comes and goes as he pleases. You know, it's a whole thing. Ours is the type of show where coworkers can feel free to drop by at any time. I came into the studio just in between the writer's block and Pat Emig, the 2-3 program from with Eric last week, just to say hello to everybody. And then I wound up doing the show with him. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. So ours is the type of show where friends can drop by at any time, such as friends like Derek Gould. Morning, Derek.
Morning, gentlemen.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
This is a monster day in St. Louis sports, and the odds, I would say, are against both teams. But nonetheless, man, wouldn't it be pretty sweet if the Cardinals could somehow get a win against Jake Arrieta and the Cubs, and the Blues could pull it off in San Jose. But coming off of last night's game, I know a lot of fans are going, oh, man, what is going on with Michael Wacha? What do you think is going on with Michael Wacha?
Yeah, I think he has just been thrown off, no pun intended, from his mechanics and is trying to put them back together and has been for a while. You see him pitch well for some games. You see him pitch well for some innings. But really since last, I'd say late August, September, he just hasn't had everything in sync. That comes from there's a lot of different contributing factors there. One, you know, scouts tell me and other folks tell me that he just has a very complex mechanics. And we all probably took him for granted, to be honest, when he comes up and shines like he did in 2013 and when he pitches like he did in early 2015. You just think that, okay, well, they're complex, but he's athletic and coordinated enough to complete them all the time. And he's just been off. And what happens when he's off is that front foot the lead foot, and the release point of his pitches, they're not timed, and that leads to the pitches straying high. That leads to his fastball over the plate. It also leads to opponents being able to say, you know what, I don't have to bother with the changeup. I can ignore it and wait for the fastball I know I'm going to hit, and we saw a lot of that last night.
Derek, we were joking earlier about the old baseball adage that momentum is your next day's starting pitcher. And if anyone thought that the Cardinals would draw some momentum from that dramatic walk-off Randall Grichuk home run the night before, certainly that all went away in the first inning.
Well, it proved it, though, right? It proved that yes. adage, right? That momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. And the Cardinals have not been able to generate any momentum because the next day's starting pitcher has most often not done well. I mean, that's the whole root here. The Cardinals can't get winning streaks because their starting pitching has been unreliable. And there was a lot to last night's game. You could have gone a lot of different directions. I thought Hamels pitched well. You know, the top of the lineup, I think, was something like 1-for-16. There wasn't a whole lot of production from the Cardinals lineup, but I think you do have to credit the opponent. But the overarching, you know, culmination there in last night's game was Walker's continued struggles. I mean, look, he's allowed 6 runs in 3 consecutive starts. The last guy to do that was Mike Moroth. You know what Mike Moroth did after allowing 6 runs in 3 consecutive starts? He didn't pitch again in the majors.
Wow, that was it for Mike Moroth in 2000. Yeah. Magical time.
Yeah, do you remember those days? You remember who they traded for Mike Moroth?
Oh, wow, I like these kinds of questions. I like these kinds of questions.
Was it Tigers?
It was the Tigers, yeah. Yeah, they got him from the Tigers where he was really struggling. And they actually, it was a player to be named later type trade, but the player to be named later was actually rather fascinating.
I don't have the answer. I'm going to go. Venture a guess, Charlie?
I won't be able to think of it.
Sea Monster's thinking. I see his wheels turning. We don't have the answer, Derek.
Pitcher or position player?
Okay, we'll take hints.
Pitcher.
And he ended up being a decent pitcher for the Tigers for a while?
He made the majors, but no.
Okay.
He didn't make the majors, which is something he didn't do with the Cardinals.
Can we have the initials of his first and last name?
You can. C-L. And he is a prominent figure if you're into Cardinals draft history.
Whoa. Paul Coleman.
No, C-L.
It's the only Cardinal draft pick it stands out to me. That was a yeah. That was a mess right before
no
Frank Thomas. All right, we
people are yelling at the radio right now. I'm sure Chris Lambert.
I wouldn't have guessed that. You could have given me a million guesses.
First round pick
shows what I know.
Sorry, right. It's from this is the forgettable draft. That's the reason. And then the next year they redid everything. Luno came in and off they went.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this, the people on the Morning After fan page, and I thought it was kind of, this is more of a bigger picture question, because the team is, you know, quarter of the way through, and, you know, some people, it's almost like political parties, some people are saying the season's still early, there's still a couple games above 500, they still can get a wild card. You know, you saw what the 2011 team did, you saw what the 2016 team did with 83 wins. I am of the camp, and I went into the season just thinking, I just don't think it's there this year. And I think there are more people in that camp. I don't know. So from a bigger picture perspective, I see the fan base not necessarily polarized because that illustrates some kind of argument, but just two different philosophies on the 2016 Cardinals. Your thoughts on that analysis, I suppose, of the fan base and where the organization is in the Major League season?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I have a real good feel for the fan base, to be honest, Tim, because I only hear from the angry ones.
That's right.
I hear the loudest from the, I shouldn't say only, because I have gotten, because I brought this up before on the show in the writer's block, just, you know, and with Hockman, just because he tends to generate such positivity. And I'm like, I think it's our personalities, man. I think I'm just a magnet for anger. You know, and he gets the bouquets. And so I think, you know, but that I have received a few emails. But, I mean, even today, this morning, I'm over coffee. I'm checking my emails. And, you know, one email is, you know, blasting me for focus on Waka when it was really the hitter's fault last night. And, Okay, I don't get that. Another email said that, you know, told me that the Cardinals won't possibly win as long as Mozeliak is the GM and Derek Lilliquist is the pitching coach and Colton Wong is the second baseman. I think that's an odd trio to pick coming after last night's game, but, you know, I get an email from that guy probably every other day saying the same thing. So, and then there were a handful of other ones, all of them screeds of various fashions. I haven't yet gone on Twitter, really, to read some of those things, but I'm sure they're going to be the same. So, I'm not sure I have a real pulse for those two sides of the argument, though I'm sure they exist, Tim. And I think in some ways, I think the Cardinals have become polarizing. I don't know if it's just specific to this year, though, because I also saw it last year. There was a lot of folks that had a hard time believing that was a 100-win team. They just saw it for all the flaws and not for anything in the standings. They didn't play the game they wanted. They didn't play the style that they wanted. They didn't score enough. They weren't charismatic. They didn't have much personality. I mean, there seems to be a sense that the Cardinals have won for so long now that they should win the way the fans want. And not only win the way the fans want, they should be able to cater to every individual fan's wishes for what the team, for how they want them to win. And I think that's just a product of not the overall fan base, because I think the vast majority of folks appreciated last year's team, cheered for last year's team, and are aware of this year's team's flaws and would like them to improve. But I think the vocal group that gets onto social media, it just tends to be on social media and message boards and in emails to the writers and such, and maybe even to call, you know, sports radio. It just seems that it leans more towards the extremes. And that's probably where your political example comes in.
Yeah.
Because the political process, we've seen the extremes that result from 24-hour cable news and Twitter and all this everything, we've seen that become the gravitational pull of the conversation. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, it's probably entirely likely, because we see sports follow politics and politics follow sports so often, whether it's in coverage or approach. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the same kind of thing is happening with the Cardinals, is eventually this extreme position spat and vomited and screamed out from social media because of the gravitational pull of the conversation, and we lose sight of where they actually are.
Yeah, because I feel like they haven't. Now, I think part of it is most of the sports marketplace's attention over the last month and a half has been on the Blues.
Right.
And so it's flown under the radar. That's natural. That's just that's just the way that it works. But also, when you take a step back, you go, okay, the record isn't that bad. But I think in the past, there hadn't been a team doing what the Cubs, really up until the last, you know, week or so, where they've had a few stumbles, was that far ahead. So the record feels worse than it actually is because of how big the Cubs' start to the season has been.
So due to the style of games, because until Monday night, the Cardinals really hadn't won a close game. They had either throttled teams that are awful, or they'd lost significantly to teams that are better. And so it also catered to what you're talking about, that polarizing view. Can't win the good against the good teams, beat up on poor teams, which was true, but it kind of fits into that black or white look at a team, and the idea that if they're not, they don't measure up against the best teams, then they're clearly not one of the best teams. So I think there's a lot of it. I also think that there's a significant spillover from the winter where, this is genuine, and they certainly have a platform to stand on, is the fans that are frustrated that when the Cardinals didn't get David Price, when Jason Hayward chose the Cubs, that the team didn't pivot and spend on Cespedes, or didn't pivot and spend on Alex Gordon, or didn't throw money at some other hitter. Just because they could, or an Upton, say. And I think there was a genuine sense that, oh, well, you don't get the two guys you want. Now you're just going to pocket the money,
right?
And watch what happens. And that's you can make that argument, and I know people have, and you know, you certainly have the planks to state that case. But I think there's a frustration that spills over from that. That's another email that I get a lot, is about Cespedes and how he's doing, and you know, and why the Cardinals didn't go sign him, and the sense that that players would choose other teams was a real humbling moment for a lot of people, the Cardinals included, Cardinals officials included, and so there's a backlash a bit.
Derek Gould of the Writer's Block, and of course the Cardinal beat reporter for the Post-Dispatch /STLToday.com with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Cardinals in a day game today, and then they go out on the road against the Nationals. I haven't been breaking down the schedule, but when you consider that two of the best teams in the game are the Nationals and the Cubs, at least I think they are, this is likely one of, if not the biggest tests of the year that the team has in 1 week.
I agree. I think this is it could be a very revealing week for where the Cardinals want to be. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to go off and, go 6-1 in these seven games. They're already down one, but, you know, if they want to show that this is their peer group and they're not on the periphery of this group, then they need to play well and pitch well and win in these games and not be, you know, not have more games like last night's game, where the Cardinals, are not able to keep up with these two teams. I think it's a revealing week. Are the Cardinals the team that they say they are, that they promise that they are, that they clearly want to be, or do they continue to be the team that they've been?
Derek, since we're kind of talking big picture, it's probably way too early, but we always like to talk trading deadline, which I guess is 2 months away. But with the Cardinals right now, you know, you look at the National League Central standings, and then, you know, two games out of the second wild card at this point. If there were no major injuries for the Cardinals, and let's say Reyes gets in the mix in some way, maybe as a bullpen arm or helping out, eat some innings as a starter here and there, where do you think the Cardinals, you know, would they add, and where would they, if that's the case surrounding trading deadline, where they're still kind of the same spot they are in the standings right now?
I asked Mozeliak that question yesterday, Charlie, sort of giving some of those same parameters, and he said it is the trading. I want to get this. I won't get the exact quote, but he said that something to the effect that the trading deadline is not on his radar at this point, that it's not an answer that he has, and that chiefly because he wants to see what the team is like with Peralta back, not with any of the other elements that you discussed, but he wants to see what happens when Peralta comes back here within, a week to 10 days, I guess, and see what the team kind of settles in and how it looks. Right now, you know, if you were to kind of take this 30,000-foot view of the roster, Reyes is a very intriguing add, either as a bullpen, maybe as a starter if there's a concern there, or, raucous troubles continue. But so is a starting pitcher just in general. There's always that benefit that comes if you can get somebody like a John Lackey to getting a known quantity in the rotation. There's no problem with that ever, even if it bumps somebody else from it, or somebody into another bullpen spot. You could see how this team would benefit from it, but there's not that, you know, certain fixed move. Instead, you kind of have to look for who might simplify decisions, and another starting pitcher would do that. If you could find a guaranteed bat at first base, which you're not, or a bat at third base and move Matt Carpenter over, who would simplify those decisions, maybe that would be appealing, but then you'd also be blocking some of the guys who are producing some of the best right now. So, the trade deadline is interesting because there are a lot of teams that this year are going to view themselves as contenders just because of this gap that we just talked about a little bit with the teams that have distanced themselves and shown that they're the heads of their class in each division, and then there are a few divisions where just everybody's involved. And then, of course, the wild cards, you know, if you're around 500, you might think you have a chance at them. And, you know, that's going to reduce the number of sellers on the team. You know, and then the teams that are tanking have kind of already made some of those moves that you'd think, you know, they'd make at the deadline, or that they'd try to hold on to the veterans to move at the deadline, or they're looking for different kind of trades than usual because they want to hasten their rebuilding project. So I don't know. It's a very interesting trade deadline, and it's not the least of which that it's on August 1st this year, so we all have to change our habits of calling it the July trade deadline, because I guess it's the August 1st trade deadline. It's a tough question. It's the right question, Charlie. It's just a tough question for a number of reasons. One, it's so early. Two, you don't know what the Cardinals are without Peralta. And three, they got a very curious roster where they make a trade, it might simplify their decisions, but it's going to create a situation where guys who they've been counting on just will stop playing if they do the trade right.
Derek Gould, Post-Dispatch, STLtoday.com, and Writer's Block here from 12 to 2 on CBS Sports 920. Derek, appreciate the time, sir. Enjoy the festivities today. Carlos Martinez and Jake Arrieta.
Yes, looking forward to it. Should be good. Thanks, guys.
He is. Derek Gould with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning. Oh, an inadvertent bell. Alpina and Travis Terrell are going to be hosting for Frank Cusimano today. Alpina making a glorious return. When he comes back like Jordan, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you. And Travis Terrell, We Are Live, hosting from 10 to noon, the Hollywood Casino press box here on the station. Ryan Kelly is the title sponsor of this show. You have to ask yourself, why would you go anywhere else other than our title sponsor? Why would you not call the number one loan originator in the entire Midwest? The housing market's hot right now, and houses are selling the day they come on the market. It's never been so important to have a strong mortgage lender. If you're even considering buying a home, make sure to call Ryan and get pre-approved. You can do it on the very same day you call in. Whether you're buying a home or refinancing, Ryan and his team make the process easy and take you from start to finish without all the headaches and hassles. The Home Loan Expert team is in a new office in Brentwood. You've probably seen their sign when you're on Highway 40 and I-170. Call Ryan and his team at 314-781-9700. That's 314-781-9700. Or visit their website at thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan Kelly, our title sponsor. We ask you to support the sponsors. Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert, LLC. We have that email of the day coming up here in a matter of moments on the radio program. It's huge as we're heading down the stretch on the email of the month competition. So we'll have that for you as we wrap up this program and the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour. Tease Farms, the sponsor of the 9 o'clock hour and the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back with that email of the day. It's next here on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.